In Exodus chapter 3, Moses is keeping the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, a priest of Midian. He led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb, the mountain range of which Sinai was a part. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And I was here last time we were teaching in Exodus, pointing out that after 40 years in the wilderness, God didn't say, hey, you over there. He didn't say, hey, shepherd. He said, Moses. He knew exactly where he was, knew his name. As I said earlier in this program, the 40 years training and all the wisdom of Egypt only prepared him for failure without the spiritual training added. The other side of that coin is God doesn't place a premium on ignorance. I'm really tired of the way in which the evangelical religious world has allowed itself to be duped by a few loudmouths into thinking that God's made insecure by education. When he got ready to lay down the first books of the Bible and lead forth his people out of bondage, deliver to them the schoolmaster and the governor, the law that would keep them until the heir and the son arrived. He made sure he placed Moses in the place that he could become the most learned man of his day. God didn't have to teach him grammar on Mount Sinai in order that he could write the first written communique of that which God had said when he came down from that mountain. When God got ready to deliver the prophecy, the most important to usward revelation of Christ, the suffering servant Messiah, he chose Isaiah, anyone who can read classical Hebrew knows that there was not one with greater literary skill anywhere in the records of that day than Isaiah. Now, he's got room for keepers of sycamore trees and tenders of sheep and like Amos. But when God wants a great work done, he provides the raw material. When he got ready to build the church of Jesus Christ and choose one that would pen 3/4 of the New Testament, he didn't use the one-syllable fisherman John. He chose Paul. trained in the best school of Gamaliel that could be found. I'm tired of premium on ignorance. But at the same time, when this bush came and God spoke to Moses and said, take the shoes off your feet, and says, I've seen the affliction of my people and heard their cries, and I'm come down to deliver them. And says in the 10th verse, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses said unto God, who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Took 40 years of spiritual training to bring him to that state, as contrasted with the overconfident deliverer of his people who was offended and wondered why they didn't understand that he was there to deliver them when they turned on him after killing the Egyptian that was fighting with the Israelites some 40 years earlier that brought the wrath of Pharaoh and sent him to the wilderness. God doesn't put a premium on ignorance. And he made sure that Moses was highly trained, but then he trained him spiritually. I would like for you to understand that these past 15 years has been a spiritual training ground for us. Everything else we did got us ready for what we're going to do now. And to show you how stupid the flesh is and how easy it is to lose faith, in Genesis 15, God gave that great vision to Abram, which I've been referring to as we've been teaching here in Exodus, of what God had promised him, particularly with focus on this promised land. And Abram had said, how am I going to know that this will happen? And God said, well, this is the way I'll prove it to you. Your descendants will go into a strange land. They'll become servants there. And in the fourth generation, they will come forth and be richer going out than when they came in. That was all designed to prove to them that the promises given to Abram, God would carry them out. And they would not only come forth richer than when they went down to this strange land, where they became slaves. Coming out richer than when they went in, they would be brought back by God and returned to the same place where God gave Abram the vision. Now you would think after having gone to the strange land as 70 people, becoming a multitude there, becoming slaves, if they were delivered, they would know of a certitude, and if they were delivered with more riches than when they came in, they would know of a certainty. Without question, the God who could do that, could and would bring them back to Canaan, the place where Abram got the vision. Now, as he calls Moses, he says three times in this chapter, out of the bush. 8th verse, I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanite, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. They only live one place. In the place that God had said to Abram, this is your land, wherever you can see as you look, north, south, east, and west, and rise and walk, and wherever your feet touch, it's yours. Now, these Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites occupied it. God had said to Abram, your descendants will go down to this strange land, become slaves, but in the fourth generation I'll deliver them. They'll come out richer than when they went down, and I'll bring them back to this place. Now, God is saying to Moses, and Moses is in the fourth generation, he obviously had made the choice with God's people. 40 years earlier, he wondered that they didn't accept him as their deliverer. And now God, true to what he promised Abram, is saying, I'm going to bring him, his fourth generation, I'm going to bring him to the place where these people are occupying, which was none other than the place that formerly had been given to Abraham. 12th verse. After Moses says, who am I? God said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. You may wonder why God didn't really come down too hard on the Israelites when they first left Egypt. They didn't have to put their feet in the water or run any risk at the Red Sea. Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stretched his rod and it parted. Closed it in on the Egyptians. They could murmur when they were thirsty and the waters were bitter, and Moses is shown by God a tree that sweetens the water. They can murmur at Rephidim, and they can make fools of themselves at the foot of Mount Sinai. But there was one thing that had better be clear to Moses after Sinai, and to his people after Sinai. That not only had God said to Abram, this is the sign that I'll keep my word and will give this land to you. Your descendants will go to a strange land, become slaves, in the fourth generation be brought out richer than when they went down there, and will be brought back to this same place. God adds another sign, en route. He would make sure that he led them with a pillar of cloud, no less, and fire by day, and fire by night, and cloud by day. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. The fact that God gave his law on Mount Sinai. I mean, Moses should have said, if I was ever going to doubt, wouldn't be now. People should say, not only has God kept his word to Abraham, now he's kept his word to Moses. God's got a track record. He did the impossible. Abram asked him and questioned, and God said, okay, I'll convince you this way. This is what will happen to your descendants. Moses questions. God says, okay, I'll convince you this way. In the trek forth, en route to fulfilling my promise to Abraham, I'll bring you back to this mountain. You'll worship God here. Verse 17. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Three times, God reiterates the place that they're going to go to. 400 years, God wove a fabric and proved his word to Abram. Exactly as God said, en route to Canaan, they're going to serve God upon the mountain, because that's where the law is going to be given to them that defines their servitude. How in the world, then, could this same bunch come to Kadesh Barnea a short time later and let the knowledge of a few giants and risk to themselves scare them out and make them doubt? I mean, you couldn't do that. You couldn't see what God did in 400 years to keep his word to Abram. And you couldn't see what he did in another less than 3 years to keep his word to Moses and this people. If there's any one thing in this whole earth I'm sure of, if I was one of this band, giants notwithstanding, we're going into Canaan. No way my people would doubt if they had an evidence record like that. Our problem is we got too much. If we just had this little bit of evidence, we wouldn't doubt. Problem we got is we're saturated. And when we got the illustration of God's dealing not only with Abraham and with Moses and children of Israel, we got the prophecies of Daniel, we got the prophecies of Jeremiah, we got the prophecies of Isaiah, we got the fulfillment of God's word in Christ's first coming, we got the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I mean, we've got, that's what's wrong with us. We got too much evidence. That's our problem. We just got fidelity culture shock. God's just been faithful too many times. More than a man can absorb. I mean, I can believe a God that'll hit it two or three times. A thousand times. Got to be a fable. It's easy to believe a God that can keep a 400-year, 430-year record. 5,000-year record, that's... He ain't ever failed yet. And you know I'm being ludicrous. See how stupid it is? Oh, I can't believe God for $1,000. I got a giant bunch of bills. You go see the giants in my bill box. Get on the telephone.